the Frederick Academy Knights Coaches Show with head coach Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, Parker's, Belinda Thomas Realty, Ashley Business Solutions, Awesome Nissan, Jessup Furniture, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Nat's Landing. And now, here is your host, George Tindall. Welcome to the Frederick Academy Knights Coaches Show with head coach Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop, sitting in for George Tindall on location at Nat's Landing on St. Simon's, where we'll be each and every week on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for the entire season. This segment of the Brandon Derrick Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, Parker's, Belinda Thomas Realty, Ashley Business Solutions, Awesome Nissan, Jessup Furniture, Cunningham Jewelers, and by our host, Nat's Landing. And now joining us, the head coach of the Frederick Academy Knights, Coach Brandon Derrick.
How are you doing?
I am well, Coach. All right, Coach, so you had to get another key win in the region, and you did just that. In general, talk about your kids' performance Friday night.
I thought we played hard the whole game. I think we went to about 2 minutes of Murphy's Law. So if you've ever been in life where nothing goes right, that was about what we lived through there for the first 2 minutes of the third quarter. But we jumped out to a 27-7 lead, and I thought the kids played really, really hard and gave us a chance to win, and then they didn't really panic when everything went wrong for about 2 minutes. We kind of regrouped and finished off the game in the fourth quarter by just running the football. I thought we did a really good job offensively controlling the line of scrimmage when we're not very big up front, so I thought the kids did a really good job of that.
48-28 final in the Trinity game, of course, again, another key region win. You guys were up big at the half. I think it was 27-6, something like that. Talk about your first half performance.
You know, we ran the ball really well. Deep, broke one for 88 yards down the sideline and put us up, you know, I think 7, and then we broke another one. Denver scored a couple and got us up there. It was up 21-7 at one point, and then we scored one more. I think DeKale punched one in. It may have been the first time DeKale scored. And put us up 27-7. We were running the ball really well and throwing the ball. We were 5 for 5 in the first half throwing the football and did an excellent job up front, you know. And then I don't know what happened going into the second half, but I felt first half-wise we did a good job defensively. We were getting after it. We gave up one drive, a couple big plays that we didn't get lined up right, or we had a busted coverage. And, of course, you know, we got a whole new secondary back there, so if this continues, they just got to grow from it and get a little bit better at it. You know, we're in game 7, so we ought to be getting this ironed out at some point in time.
Your team comes out of the second half with a big lead. It looks like you guys are going to coast. And then the wheels fall off in the third quarter. And Trinity gets back in the game, pulls themselves to within 34-28, 34-27.
Yeah.
What did you see there in the third quarter that was going on with your football team?
We just made some mistakes. We had a deflected screen pass that one of our big guys caught and ran it back for a touchdown within first 30 seconds of the second half. We had everybody. We had 5 of the 6 guys literally blitzed, and I thought, well, that's a good call. And then the guy that was running by the last one tipped it, and the guy behind him picked it off, and I was like, great. And then poor Tyler was trying to tackle the guy, but there were 4 linemen leading his one guy. The big guy there was being led by 4 linemen, so Tyler couldn't get through to make the tackle. The guy scored, made it 27-14, and then the ensuing kickoff hit our guy dead in the hands, went through his hands, and then went through another kid's hands. And they recovered it, and 2 plays later, they threw a deep pass, and we had to mess up the coverage, and they scored, and it made it 27-21. And at that point, I think my blood pressure pretty much, I don't know if my blood pressure had went up or if I had just thought, well, then here we go again. But we settled down, and then we began to play a little bit. And then, of course, I think it was 34-28, and we had a bad snap. They had the ball with 20 going in, and the defense made a couple big plays and stopped them and got the ball back. And then kind of in the fourth quarter, still 34-28, it was 4th and 1 with us on the ball on the 29-yard line, not on their 29, on our 29 coming out. And I went for it, and we got it we busted it up the middle for about 20 yards. But, again, I told my wife it was probably the craziest call I've made in my coaching career. And she said, really, that one? And I was like, not many people go for it on fourth and one with your back against the goal line. So, but kids executed, and we made a big play, and went right down the field and scored, put us up 42-28, and then made an interception and scored again. So they did a good job.
And I've kind of seen a pattern in the last few weeks where you guys play really well in the first half, you come out and struggle in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, your team just puts it back together and pulls away to finish out the game. Is there any rhyme or reason why that happens, or sometimes you just things can't be explained?
Well, I couldn't explain it Friday night. I tell you what, it was weird. I was like, man, this is crazy. You had complete radio silence on the headsets. Was like, what's going on out here? And so I don't know. I think maybe we just won't go in for halftime. We'll just stay out and practice tackling or play, you know, just inter-squad with one another during the halftime. So I'm not sure what we'll do here this next upcoming week when we go up to John Mills. We may just stay out and run through their defense and offensive stuff and work on us for 20 minutes and then get ready to play the third quarter. I don't know what's going on at halftime. I thought my speeches were pretty good, but maybe they're not very good. I don't know.
That's where I want to put the blame is on your speeches. This is the Frederick Academy Coaches Show with head coach Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Well, coach, with the win, you guys get back over 500 on the regular season to 4-3 on the year. More importantly, you notched that second region win, which at this point, Pinewood did take out Bullock, so I think probably the most likely scenario is you're playing for home field for a 2 seed.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got Bullock looming, but you get this second game, which really puts you in a position to secure that number 2 seed.
Yeah, we have a chance. You know, if we take care of business, you know, we got to go to John Millage. Not this week, but next week. And then, of course, then we got to play Bullock at home. If we beat them, we get a home game in the playoffs. Puts us second in the region. So we'll get that, and then we'll have to go on the road after that. So, but we'd love to play at home, you know, in that first round of playoffs. That'd be very big for us.
I sure would like to have a discussion with the person that's in charge of posting the GISA playoff bracket online to make that thing decipherable, because it makes zero sense who's going where the way they have that thing set up.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you look at it. I guess you have to have a master's in education to do that. So luckily I've got that, and I've been able to decipher it. So if we win and we're second, we play at home in the first round. And if we win that game, or we will end up playing Region 3's number 3, and we'll be the 2 seed. And then if we win that game, we go to Region 1, probably to Heritage, who I think will be Region 1's number 1. So we'll have to go back to Heritage and play in Newnan. And then if we win that game, we have to go probably back to our good old friend John Millage in the Final Four. And if we were to beat John Millage in the Final Four, which we're very capable of doing, we will be in Macon, Mercer, playing for the state championship again in December. And I would say on the other side of the bracket, you're probably looking at Valwood being the top runner. And then we're Pinewood, probably going to that. Pinewood will have the easiest road the way it breaks down, or Valwood. One of those two will have the easy trip the way the bracket's set up.
All right, well, more to come on the Brandon Derrick Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Fight songs, cheerleaders, whistles blowing, they're all part of the game. Unfortunately, so are injuries. I'm Dr. Denny Carter with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, reminding all athletes that if you hurt your elbow, break your hand or wrist, or even blow out a shoulder or knee, we can help. And we have the strength of Southeast Georgia Health System supporting us. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org.
If you need it, Southern Hardware has it. From mowers to trailers to case knives, you will find it all at Southern Hardware. Locally owned and operated since 1987. Right now, you will find the lowest prices around on zero-turn mowers and lawn equipment packages. If you want it, chances are Southern Hardware has it. Southern Hardware, located right off exit 29 in Brunswick, or check them out at southernhardwareinc.com. 912-267-7992.
Locals know where to find legendary island favorites, great service, and live music. Nat's Landing at 310 Redfern Village on St. Simon's Island has that laid-back atmosphere you've been looking for. With a full bar and American fare from burgers and wings to fresh seafood and salads, you are sure to find something for everyone. If you've lived here forever or are just visiting and like to have a great time, come by from 11:30 to last call. As always, free beer tomorrow, and we hope to see you soon.
Ouch, Charlie, that really hurts. Hey, listen, don't you like that jingle? Anyways, we're doing this till the end of the month. We're going to give you $3,000 more than Kelley Blue Book. That's right, $3,000 more than Kelley Blue Book. Come check us out. We are selling used cars as fast as we get them in. So we're going to give you top dollar for your trade at Awesome Nissan in Brunswick. Check us out, Awesome Old Town. Wasn't that a beautiful jingle? Hey, bring your car down $3,000 more than Kelley Blue Book.
Awesome Nissan Facebook. Also, give us a call. Our sales staff is waiting, 912-264-3825. Plus tax and title, down payment with approved credit. All deals subject to final approval of dealer principal.
All right, welcome back to the Frederick Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop, sitting in for George Tindall on location from Nat's Landing on St. Simons. This segment brought to you by Nat's Landing, Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, and by Awesome Nissan. All right, Coach, so moving forward, we've got the game now under our belt, the second region win of the season. Typically, what we do in this segment is we talk about the upcoming opponent, and the upcoming opponent for next week is going to be yourselves. As you go into the bye week, you get some rest. Talk about some of the kids that the rest is really going to benefit, and I understand you're kind of banged up right now.
Yeah, we were down 12 kids after the game. Concussions, some pulled muscles. I think Bryce Riley was out. Will Thompson has been sidelined. Avery's been out already. John Phillip has been out. You know, we're going to get six or seven guys back the next week there. We get ready to go against John Millage. So getting everybody healthy is going to be really a point of emphasis for us. And then getting good quality reps without getting anybody injured and being physical at practice without getting anybody hurt again is always a challenge, you know. And so we'll have to continue to work with that. And it's a very fine line when you don't have a ton of kids. So I think we've done a pretty good job with it so far this year.
When you go into those bye weeks, the intensity level, do you try to keep up a high intensity level at those practices, or do you kind of just scale it back and let the kids get some rest and relaxation and maybe unplug the battery a little bit?
I unplug the battery a little bit. What we do is usually that first day in the bye week, we go watch film. We break down a lot of film of us, what we've done in the past couple of weeks, how we need to fix things. And then we watch film on the next opponent, or for us, it's John Miller Jambold. So we watch film on both of them and start breaking down both groups. And then, we'll probably, for us, the next day is pretty light. It's going to be a light day, kind of. We'll do a little bit of working out, a lot of stretching, get everybody, you know, stretching a little bit, conditioning, and then we'll go through a lot of our schemes, what our defensive recognition, offensive recognition, what we might see, what blitzes we might give, how we're going to pick it up, and then on defense, what blitzes and what fronts we're going to put in, and then work against both teams, kind of scheme for both teams at the same time. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, we go out and do that. Not a ton of contact on Wednesday, and then Thursday amp it up a little bit more, because then you're going to get out of the weekend and get 3 days off. So kind of amp it up by Thursday and then get a good hard practice in on Thursday and then get ready for the next week.
And with the way your schedule has played, I don't think that's a bad thing to unplug the battery a little bit. You know, I don't think, obviously, you're not one that really believes in taking games off. When you look at your region schedule, obviously, you've got Pinewood and Bullock in there, which are two premier programs. Right. And then outside of that, while we're at it, let's schedule GHSA Trotton. Let's schedule Valwood. Hey, well, throw in John Millage while we're at it. Coach, does that help you in the long run?
We're prepared. I'll tell you that. I think it gives our kids a way to measure themselves, so we know going down the road when we go into the playoffs, we're probably not going to face any better competition than what we've already faced. And so now, does it take a toll on us a little bit physically? Yeah, but at the same time, mentally, we kind of know, well, we can beat them, we've been in it, or we beat them, or vice versa. So we kind of know what we're going up against down the road, and you're really prepared. You're facing the best. We're facing probably the best teams out there. You know, you start looking at Valwood, and John Miller's probably ranked 1 and 2 right now, and I think Pinewood's probably right up there at 4th. And, you know, we've been in the top 10 all year, even at 4 and 3. They'll drop us down to about sixth probably as far as we've been dropped because the losses have been to Bowerwood, and then we lost to Pinewood, which we were ahead 21-0 and probably should have won that one. And, of course, Charlton's predominantly a dominant single-A powerhouse, and we opened up with them at Charlton. So
and struggled a little bit this year.
Yeah, and they're down a little bit this year. But overall, I think we play a pretty good group of competitors, and I think it helps us down the road.
You're listening to the Brandon Derrick Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. All right, Coach, so, the John Miller's thing's turned into a pretty good game. You guys met those guys in the playoffs and wasn't much of a challenge. And then in the regular season, which I think was the pivotal point last year for you guys, you lose that game 14-13 in overtime. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you chose to go for two in overtime and didn't get it. Is that what happened?
Yeah. I'm 0-for in overtime. It doesn't matter what play I call or anything. We never convert it. But I went for it, and we lost 14-13 at home. And then, of course, the irony of the whole thing is, who do we get? John Millage in the state championship. So I guess we got lucky and won that one 48-0. But, you look back on it, last 2 years, John Millage is 19-1. From last year's record to this year, they're 19-1, and the only team to beat them was really to come close to beating them has been us, because everybody else played them. They beat everybody else by two or more touchdowns last year, and then this year they're beating everybody by two touchdowns or more. And we played them really close last year and lost in overtime, and then beat them in the state championship. So they're a really good football program. Coach Wall does a good job up there.
I think it's fair to say that the win against John Miller in the state championship game didn't even doubt that it wasn't a fluke win.
Well, we played really good. And again, we had a ton of talent, too, last year. When you sent three guys to Auburn, and you got another one at Kentucky State, and one playing at Birmingham Southern, and you got, a bunch of other kids, another kid that could have signed with Georgia Southern. Six kids on that team could have went and played college football. You have a pretty good football team. So we just did what we had to do to win that one.
So now, moving forward to this year's John Millage game, what are you expecting from John Millage? And before actually you get to that, I failed to look at the schedule as I should have before the show because I'm not prepared. Are you guys once again on the road? Because you were at home last year against John Millage. So if you're on the road again, which I'm guessing you are.
Yeah, we're on the road. It's a 4-hour trip to Millageville, so we're really excited about it. But we're going back up there.
That's not to cut you off. That's insane how much you guys have been on the road this season.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you. we've probably put in 30 hours of travel time this year already and still got four more to go. But John Millage, they're going to be really good. They've got a kid that I think just committed to Penn State, running back. Ahmad Faustin he may have committed to Penn State last week, so he's a Division I kid that can tote the rock. Last year at home when they played us, he carried it 47 times for 124, 25 yards, and then last year in the state championship he didn't fare as well, but he is a really good premier running back for John Millage, so we'll have to be on our A game.
All right. Well, coming up, we will talk about the season for the remainder of the year, which we're kind of starting to wind things down now.
Oh yeah.
But we'll be right back to the Frederick Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Looking for top quality furniture at prices that blow away the competition? Jessup Furniture Outlet. Ashley, Universal, Bassett, Lexington, and so many more. Jessup Furniture offers delivery and 12-month interest-free financing located at 651 Scranton Road next to Old Times, or give Jessup Furniture a call, 912-267-1897. Also, find Jessup Furniture on Facebook. Jessup Furniture, your top quality furniture outlet that won't break your budget. Ashley's Business Solutions is excited for another great season of Knights football. Keep Ashley's in mind when your business is looking to buy local. We specialize in the sales and service of printers, copiers, and mailing equipment. For 36 years, we have helped over 6,000 companies in South Georgia streamline productivity, enhance security, reduce costs, and improve customer satisfaction. Call us, 912-267-7802. Ashley's Business Solutions, tomorrow's solutions for today's office.
There are plenty of real estate companies and agents on St. Simons, but if you want your property sold, bought, or rented, and treated with a personal touch, then Belinda Thomas Realty is the only call you should make. Belinda Thomas and Jenna Jackson believe in personal relationships, not just making a sale. Located at 1331 Ocean Boulevard, Suite 102 on St. Simons, give them a call, 912-996-5820 or 404-545-5197. Belinda Thomas Realty, real estate with a personal touch. Guys, we all screw up from time to time, and that is why Cunningham Jewelers has our back. No matter your budget, they've got you covered. The perfect anniversary gift is right here at Cunningham Jewelers. Does she have her birthday around the corner? Cunningham Jewelers offers gift items, engraving, and so much more. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick. CunninghamJewelers.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. Great food, snacks, and the best selection of energy drinks in the Golden Isles, Parker's. A day outdoors, coolers, suntan oil, beach chairs, ice, Parker's. Check out our splash fountain with the famous chewy ice, Parker's. Get your Pump Perks card and start saving on every gallon of gas today at Parker's. www.parkersga.com, a proud supporter of Frederica Athletics. Parker's. And let's go Knights!
Back to the Frederica Academy Knights Coach Show and Head Coach Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop, sitting in for George Tindall on location at Nat's Landing on St. Simons. This segment is brought to you by Parker's, Jessup Furniture, Ashley Business Solutions, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Belinda Thomas Realty. All right, Coach, so the region standings in Region 2-3A in the GISA. Pinewood's 2-0, Frederica's 2-1, Bullock is 1-1, Westfield 1-2, and Trinity 0-2. Five-team region, four teams are going to get in. It doesn't look like Trinity is in a good spot to be in.
Trinity's probably going to be the team that gets left out. Now, they have the ability to actually, they could pull an upset Friday against Bullock, but, I don't know. Looking at them, after watching them on film and playing them, they really got some speed. They got a couple guys on the edge that can run. They got a wide receiver he's the fastest guy in our entire league. He won the 100-meter dash last year, and he just ran away from everybody. So he's pretty fast, the Payne kid, Walker Payne, I think is his name.
And with that being said, it's not like that Bullock has been impervious to dropping a game that they shouldn't drop over the last few years. We've seen them do that a good bit.
Yeah, they've had a hiccup here and there, but I think even this coming Friday night, one of their best players, he got ejected from the game at Pinewood last Friday, so he has to set out this Friday night. So who knows what will come up with that, but still, we have to beat Bullock regardless whether they beat Trinity or whether they lose, because if we were to play them and lose, we'd both be 2-2, and they win the head-to-head. So we got to beat them anyway. So it's what we have to do. We got to take care of our business.
I want you to correct me on something. I wanted to ask you about this. It's a little bit of a gear shift away from Frederica football, but it caught my attention, and I didn't understand it, so I wanted to ask you. I was looking at John Millage's region, and am I mistaken that there are only three teams
right
in that region?
Started out with four, and then Westminster last year couldn't fill the team, so they dropped it. They dropped that down to only having three teams in their region. So that's when they come up with the concept that we're going to have crossover play. That's why we play John Millage, BCA, and Augusta Prep, and then they'll probably take the top four out of our region, because I think everybody in our region has beat BCA and Augusta Prep, but then their 1-2 is a lock. So John Millage and BCA will be in as the 1-2. Augusta Prep will get left out, and our number five will get left out. So that's just the way it'll end up being.
That is about as clear as the Okie Pinocchio Swamp.
That's the way it works. So we really thought that when Westminster and up in Augusta dropped out, that they would probably either move Westfield over into their region and cut it down a little bit, or Trinity would go into their region, but they didn't. So we still got the four region games and then the crossover games too. That's why we're dropping the John Millage. I didn't I wouldn't have been like, hey, John Millage, let's play each other. Oh, I might have. You know how I am. I'm a little bit crazy, but it's a 4.5-hour bus ride, so I probably wouldn't have been. I'm getting too old for these showing up, getting in bed at 5 o'clock in the morning type thing on Saturday. So, but, yeah, that's how I ended up getting them on schedule.
That sounds very convoluted, but so be it. Yeah, I saw that and I was a little confused, so I got to ask Coach Derek about that because I don't understand how in the world that works.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier about the playoffs. We were talking earlier about how much this Puerto Rico team has traveled. At this point, when you look at what's in front of you and odds are, you know, unless something weird happens and Pinewood drops that number one seed and Puerto Rico gets it, you're like you said, got a good chance to get that first home game in the first round, and then from that point forward, you're going to be on the road pretty much every game, all the way through the championships, as long as you're still playing. With as much road time that you put in, as many road games as you played, is that, I mean, that's got to benefit you, don't you think, if you're going to be on the road that much in the playoffs?
I hope.
Okay.
I don't know if we've traveled. We went to six destinations this year and only played three home games because of the hurricane. So we've been on the road, and none of our road trips are very short.
No, you don't take short trips in GISA.
Yeah, everything's at least 2 hours plus. So for us, we travel, and we travel well. When 2-3 years ago, I tried to sign us up for long road trips to get us prepared, because I felt like we needed a good long road trip to get ready to go to Macon and feel what it was like. So we played in Alabama 1 year, and then we played at Westland up in Atlanta, and we've kind of been everywhere. So I don't know if it helps us or hurts us. I know one thing. I've not been getting a lot of sleep because of it.
This is the Fred Reed Academy Coaches Show with Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, I feel like that your team, when you look at what last year's team, like you said, they lost six kids that could have played college football, Division I football at some point, somewhere. You lose those six kids, it's got to be tough to replace them, but at the same time, you still have a really good football team. And I look around the GISA at what's there, and I look at John Millage as, in my opinion, being the favorite to be able to get back to the state championship game and possibly win. Of course, we're probably going to have to go through those guys and to get the state championship. I feel like they're going to be favored. This game Friday night, next Friday, I almost feel like it's a huge statement game for Puerto Rico to say, hey, okay, we lost some guys. We're the defending state champs. This team's only lost one game in a couple years. So let's go beat them.
For us, it's total role reversal. Last year, Coach Wall, he was talking before the game, like, there's no way we even got a shot. You guys are this, that, and the other. So I think they went in with a chip on their shoulder when they played us at home, and it upset us. And like you said, all it did for us was really put the light switch on, like, oh. And so this year, we're kind of the same way. We're the underdog going in. Even though we're the defending state champions, we're still the underdog. I think they returned practically 9 guys on both sides of the ball. And so we're going in as an underdog. But, I think for us it could be a statement game, that we belong in the conversation of being right there in the middle of all this. And I think the kids will come out and play. They're going to give great effort. We're going to play our butt off. And we got a chance. I told them that this week. We got a chance to win. We know how to beat them. We only won this beat them in the last 2 years, so we kind of got a little bit of an idea of how to beat them. So we're going to get prepared, and we'll be ready to go.
Thanks for joining us for the Puerto Rico Academy Coaches Show with Brandon Derrick on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Come out and Nass Landing, St. Simon's Island, every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, for the Brandon Derrick Show. Sitting in for George Tindall, I'm Jason Bishop, signing off.